good, Brother Randy. I got this thing on right. Yes, sir. Is it good? All right. All right. Philippians chapter 3. Now, look, I heard Brother Jared was here a few weeks ago. Could be like him and tell you, just give me 65 more minutes, okay, and we'll be through. Just 65 minutes. Can you hang out for 65 more minutes? And when he says it, you know it's for real. If I say it, I hope I'm kidding. All right, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you again, I want to thank you for loving us and dying for us and for all those that have gathered to hear your word once again. Lord, please speak to us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I genuinely don't intend to keep you too long, and you might even say this would be more like a Sunday school lesson. I believe it's what the Lord would have us to go over. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The next verse says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, then, I believe we would all could agree that at some point in time we've had an issue of hanging out in the past too long, not letting stuff go, right? Now then, we ain't necessarily getting on the fact that you might have a grudge against your neighbor or the person sitting across the pew from you. Now, if you do, you need to get that right too, right? However, a lot of times as independent, fundamental, Bible-loving Baptist Christians, right, we bad about staying back yonder when we need to be pressing on up yonder. You know what I'm saying? Number one, we need to stop dwelling on sins of the past. Now then, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Excuse me. Romans 3:24. The Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now look at here, you're going to sin. The Bible says if any man say he is without sin, he is a liar, right? So if you hear this evening, you say, well, brother, I ain't got no sin. Well, you're a liar. Let me make sure to note that one, all right? Please come tell me after church how little sin you have, okay? All right, so look, you're going to have some sort of sin pop up here and there. As Baptists, we eat a lot, correct? We always make up an excuse to have a fellowship dinner, and we always eat too much. Especially when there's banana pudding sitting around somewhere. Or fried chicken. Banana pudding is the Baptist dessert and fried chicken is the Baptist bird, if you didn't know. If we had us a banner, it wouldn't be an actual chicken, it'd be a chicken leg. Okay, it'd look like KFC logo. well, anyway, look, we're all going to be wrapped up in some sort of sin. Now then, we need to get the sin under the blood and keep on going. You might have sinned some horrible something way back yonder before you got saved, and it's still bad. You don't need to forget where you came from, correct? The Bible says to call into remembrance some things. You need to remember what kind of sinner you were before Christ found you, right? It's good to stop and think for a minute. Well, glory to God, look at where I used to be, and look at what He's brought me from. He pulled me up out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit. Right? And out of the mire and set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. He pulled us up out of some nasty junk. Right? When old Jeremiah got thrown in that pit, he was stuck in the mire. He couldn't move around in it. If you ever been walking through a swamp and you lost your shoe, that would be what mire is. Okay? We've all been in that mire. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Okay, whether it was a horrible sin way back yonder or whether it's been a horrible sin since you've got born again. Now then, get it under the blood and keep on going. Don't forget completely, hey man, I messed up back there too, just like brother so-and-so. I'm just as capable of sin as anybody else. The only difference between a saved person and a lost person is a saved person can't go to hell. But they're still capable of all those sins that a lost man is. I'm still capable of getting mad at somebody and shooting them. Right? You are too. Whether you like to think so or not. That's just the way it is. However, we got Christ dwelling in us, and He gives us the power to overcome sin. But too often, some of us will get stuck in that mud, and we can't forget, man, I messed up. I can't do nothing for the Lord no more. I done messed it up real bad back yonder. Man, if you just knew what I was, you'd understand I can't get up and speak for the Lord. I can't go do nothing for Him. Man, that's baloney that the devil's feeding you. Paul was a murderer. Moses was too. excuse me. Peter cursed. Noah was a drunk. I mean, we could keep on going. Abraham and Isaac tried to give their wives away to keep from getting killed. That's some pretty rough stuff. Right? Samson gave in to a woman. Right? Horrible thing. He can use it despite our failures. It's not a license to sin. That doesn't mean, oh, well, you know what? It's under the blood. Praise God. I ain't got to worry about going to hell no more. I ain't got to worry about whether or not I lie or whether or not I cheat, steal, kill, get drunk, whatever. I'm just going to live it up. I'm going to go get me a pot plant, and I'm going to go get me a carton of cigarettes and the biggest log of Red Man I can find, and I'm just going to enjoy my days, right? And I'm just going to kill myself with all the pleasure of this world. No, that ain't what the Bible says. It says not to use your code of liberty for maliciousness, right? It's not an excuse to sin. However, we can't keep on hanging out and just keep on dwelling on the sins that took place back here. You get them under the blood. He said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I sin right now. I get down on my knees. Lord, forgive me and help me to overcome it. And I keep on pressing forward. It's all we can do. It already took place. There ain't no changing it. Right? Well, then press on for the Lord. Get over it. Learn from it. I heard one time that a good man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from others' mistakes. And a fool don't learn at all. Don't be a fool. Learn from your mistakes and learn and your sins and learn from other people's sins. And learn how to avoid it. Okay? But you can't be hanging out back there and just not getting up and over it. I met this man one time. He's homeless. He lives around Childersburg. And I know that Church of God doctrine is different from ours, right? And they believe you can lose your salvation and all that kind of stuff. But turns out this man was a preacher. Now, I don't know what sin he committed, but it was bad enough that we were trying to win him to the Lord one night and said, "Hey, man, you ever been saved?" "Yep." And we're like, "Okay, whatever." Mm-hmm. And we get to digging. He said, "I was a Church of God pastor." He said, "But I sinned, and the Lord can't use me no more. He's done with me." Now look, if you're a pastor and you get caught in an adulterous affair, right, you may not be able to pastor anymore. Because if you look at those qualifications, it says you're to be of a good report within and without. Well, you lost your good report, right? But you can still tell people about Jesus. You can tell people, "Hey, you know what? I messed up, and there's no excuse for it. But glory to God, He was faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Whenever I broke down and I asked Him to forgive me, He did. He was faithful and just to His word, so I'm going to be as faithful to Him as I can be. And I'm going to press on. I'm going to try to win souls for the Lord." Right? You can come in. They might not be can be a Sunday school teacher no more. They might not can hold a position of authority inside the church house. But old Job, he used a pot sherd to scrape his boils. A pot sherd is just a piece of broken pottery. It ain't good for nothing, right? But it was good for Job, right? The Lord can take a broken Christian, one that can't be used for nothing else, and they can be a help to another Christian. They can walk up and be like, "Hey, brother, I know I ain't much of one, but I know the Lord is faithful. I know the Lord will get you through it." And you just sit there and you help them out a little bit. Just like that old piece of broken pottery helped out Job. Was it good for anything else? No. Couldn't be used for nothing else, but it was used for that. the Lord can use you in some form or fashion, no matter the state you're in. But you're going to have to get up and out of your pity party and keep on pressing forward for the Lord. You can't dwell in it. All right, number two. We got to stop dwelling on revivals of the past. The Bible says over in the book of Ezra, if I can ever find it. It's in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And they sang together by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted also, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." All right, so the temple is being rebuilt right here. Okay? You got the whole congregation of Israel there. Now then, you got the old men who saw the glory of the first temple. The Bible says they're weeping. You've got the others who didn't, and they're shouting for joy. Those old men got caught up dwelling on that old temple. Ain't bad to think on it every now and then, right? But you can't get caught up on it. Find another example. Or the Bible says over in the book of Ecclesiastes, excuse me, in chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." All right, so we read where the temple's being built, and the old men are weeping, the young men are mourning. We find right here, the Bible says, you shouldn't stop and ask, why were the old days better than this? Buddy, I remember the good old days. How many times we heard that? I know, just for myself, right? If you were to go back, and I could show you some of them conversations took place between me and some other sailors. I was only in for 4 years. I had chiefs that were pushing 20. They'd say, "Man, the Navy just ain't the same no more. Tell you what, you could just settle your problems in the equipment locker. You know, you have an issue with somebody, you open the mechanic room door, whatever it is, and you shut it, and you come out, and your issues are solved, right?" I think, man, that must have been nice a little bit. You just get it over with and taken care of. You can't do that no more. Even those short 4 years I was in there, when I was leaving, I remember telling folks that were asking me what I liked and what I didn't like. I'd say, "Man, the Navy just ain't what it used to be no more." And I was in for 4 years, right? 4 whole years. "Man, it just ain't the same." And it wasn't. It got a lot more politically correct from 2012 to 2016 when I got out, right? I tried to arrest a black man for something he deserved. And, buddy, I was a racist all of a sudden. I said, "Forget y'all, man. This is stupid," right? And that took place inside those 4 years. When I first got there, I could have arrested anybody. It didn't matter. Red, yellow, black, white, or purple. As long as I was right in it, they didn't care. I get out, all of a sudden the color of your skin matters, if I'm going to put handcuffs on you. See what I'm saying? I'd be over here, "Man, just ain't what it used to be." I had a new bunch coming in. I couldn't get on to them. It was stupid. I was running the section, and yet I couldn't do nothing with them. Had one idiot girl. The bad part, number one, was it was a female. Number two, she was black, so there was no winning, right? I couldn't correct her for nothing. Idiot left her gun laying outside a bathroom one night. I'm like, "My gosh, man, it don't seem like it takes a whole lot of smarts to understand you can't do that, right? It's stupid." Well, I tried to get on her. "I didn't do that. No, you're hurting my feelings." Right? Stupid. I'd be like, "Man, if it were just like the good old days, them chiefs in there have been there for 30 years. Man, if it were like the good old days, I'd have officers who'd been in there pushing 40, some of them. Man, it just ain't like when I joined the Navy, right? Same thing happens in churches. It seems to happen more especially in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James-toting Baptist churches, right? We get called up and we get to thinking about the good old days. Now look, there's a lot more older people in here, or people a lot older than I this evening, okay? You're going to be able to think back to some sure enough good old days. I can think back to 10 years ago kind of good old days. Back when we'd go to church and every service broke out. Every one. I ain't exaggerating. You just knew. You're going in Sunday. You're going to meet with the Lord. How many is going to get saved today? 1 or 10. Right? Now then, it seems like we do good to see one saved every 7 months. You know? Yeah. Or a year. Most of the time it is a year. I think we've seen about 2 or 3 at our church this year walk the aisle and get born again. Now then, in a lot of cases, it ain't because we're doing anything different. Bunch of churches, they still out soul winning. Bunch of churches still knocking on doors and passing out tracts. And yet there's just, it ain't the same as it used to be. Right? My grandmother had some pictures, if I'm not mistaken. She lives next to Cedar Springs Baptist Church. They went there years and years ago when they were younger, and she showed me pictures of the place packed out. They have a weird parking lot anyway. I'm talking about it was full, so full that you would have to go find the first person to be able to pull out of that joker so you could make a little jigsaw puzzle out of it so people could get out that parking lot, right? And then they were parked in the neighbors' houses next door, and all the yards were full. Getting in that little old bitty church. I don't know how they fit them in there. I guess they pulled out the chairs and they sat. They had to be touching each other to fit them all in there, right? It ain't a horrible church now, but now then they got 30. Right? They've had several different pastors. They've had several different things take place. They might be doing the same old stuff. They might be serving the Lord and they might be in obedience with Him. Doing everything they can. But it ain't the same as it used to be. Okay? We can go and we can look back at some of the great preachers. Brother Hunter were talking about the other day. It was like, man, who's going to be the greats of our day? Right? We were getting a little bit of a pity party sitting in the parking lot. It's like, man, last generation had Jack Hiles. They had Peter Ruckman. They had Walt Ziegler. They had Jason Coley. And this one and that one. I mean, you could just name them all forever. It's like, who we got? We got Clarence Sexton, David Peacock. I was like, and that's all I can think of. You know, I know there's more preachers out there. That's not what I'm talking about. But y'all know how at one time you could hear, oh, Jack Hiles is going to be in North Carolina. Man, that ain't him in Indiana. Maybe we need to load up and take off here, Jack Hiles preach. It's how great it was. Heard him talk about going to other meetings. Tom Malone and all these other fellas. Jim Lentz, different people. We're here and it's like, we're good to get a 3-day revival in anywhere. You know, I remember when they didn't go less than a week. A lot of times they'd go 2. I remember that. And now then it's 3 days. Right? Look, we can sit here and we can talk about the good old days all night long and just reminisce forever. It's good to think back on it sometimes about how good God was here and there and what He done for us right here and right there and how He came down. And buddy, you could just, it was so thick in there, it felt like He was standing right next to you. I remember a service like that. It felt like somebody was standing next to me and I was like, who done stepped next to me? And I'm reaching over here. It done got thick. Been quite a while since I've experienced anything like that. You know? But if I hang out back there for too long and I just dwell on that all the time, I'll find myself extremely depressed when I come to church next Sunday. Because guess what? It ain't going to happen. Right? Is it possible? Yes, it is. I don't know what's taking place. Some believe it's because we're just going deeper and deeper into Laodicea and that the good time services are just going to get fewer and fewer. And that's quite possible. I don't know. But if you go back to any generation, they'll tell you that it was better in the old days, right? We could go back to the times of Spurgeon and Moody. And they'll say, oh, if it were just like the good old days. And Spurgeon packing a house out every Sunday, and Moody seeing, I believe I read he had over 1 million converts. Moody alone. 1 million converts. Man, what about that? How many did Spurgeon have? A whole heap of them. Right? They're saying, if only we could have been in the age of the pilgrims. Right? Because old Spurgeon was an admirer of the pilgrims and their doctrines and the way they carried themselves and the way their character was. Ah, the mighty pilgrims of the faith. Right? He's admiring those that gave their life at a stake. And I'm over here admiring him. And then the next person will be admiring Brother Hunter, and the next down the line will be somebody else. Right? We could go on. It's a never-ending cycle. That's why you don't say, alas, why was it better in the good old days? Because you'll just end up saying, well, there ain't even no sense in going no more. Well, yeah, it is, because it's right. Why do we keep on doing what we do, even though there might not be results, according to the Church of the Highlands and all these other reprobates that are popping up everywhere? Because it's the right thing to do. Why do we go door knocking? Because it's the right thing to do. Why do we pass out gospel tracts? Because it's right. Why do we go street preaching? Because it's right. Because the Bible says to do it. Why do we continue to preach out of a King James Bible? Because it is right. We do what we do because it's the right thing to do. Not necessarily because of the results that may follow. The Bible says He gave some 5, some 10, some 100. Right? He may give us 1. Somebody else down here 100. Dr. Sexton's running like 3,000 to 5,000 people at his church. It's a King James Bible-believing Baptist church. No, it's hard to believe, right? But they also have that school, so they cycle out fairly often. So that's going to be part of it. Doing the same thing a lot of churches around here are doing. Yet they've got 5,000. These have 50 to 100. Well, what's going on? How come we keep on doing it? Because it's the right thing to do. He kept on doing it when it was the right thing to do, and he didn't have but 50 people. And he didn't have but 30 or 10. At that first church he pastored, I think he said it was 30 on a good day. Right? And they just kept on doing the same thing he's doing now. He was trying to run buses. He was trying to pass out tracts. He was trying to go knock on doors. And then he was preaching the gospel as Christ would see fit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Way back then, you couldn't say there was any results. Now then you look and you say, well, what's he doing different? Nothing. Nothing. The Lord just saw fit to allow him to have that kind of church. This one may not get bigger than 100 or 50. But you just keep on doing what the Lord has established that we're supposed to do. Let's reflect on how it was so much better back here 20, 30, 40 years ago. Oh man, I remember when any time we walked into church, old brother so-and-so was going to leap clear across the pews. He was flat-footed from one end to the center aisle and take off running. I heard a story about, I had an uncle who done that. Said it got good one evening in a revival meeting, and they were closed in. There wasn't an open aisle like that. He was on the far end of the pew and flat-footed. He leaped over everybody in that seat and took off down the center aisle, running and hooping and hollering and praising the Lord. Well, glory to God, man, I'd love to have seen it, right? They say my granddad, when he used to preach as a younger man, he would walk the backs of the pews. I'm like, my goodness. I was like, and my grandmother, she will say it consistently. She'll be like, I don't know how he didn't break his neck because none of them were bolted in. I was like, man, she said it had to be the Lord, son, because if it wasn't, he should have died long before he did, just preaching. Man, it'd been great to see some of that stuff. Maybe we don't ever see it again. We got to keep on pressing on. We can't hang out back yonder. I can't hang out at the greatest services of my life all day, every day. Because when I walk in the next Sunday, it's just going to be a letdown. Dr. Sexton said, a great service is any service in which the Lord speaks to you. Now then, does that mean it's going to be a shouter out every time He speaks to you? Mm-mm. Does that mean He's just going to flood your soul with joy every time He speaks to you? No. He's ever proved, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. It might be sometimes He's like, see there, get it right. Fix it. Fix it. I said, fix it. You know, and other times it might be like, you're doing a good job. Just keep it up. Other times it might be like, hey, I need you to go do something for me. But if the Lord spoke to you, then it was good, right? If you're sitting there and you just feel the Holy Spirit and it's just a sweet peace, well, then it was good. If you're sitting there and that sweet peace is more like a bold conviction and you're getting cut in the gut, well, then it was a good one. As long as the Lord has spoken to you, it's been a great service. No matter how we might rank services, did He speak to you? Any way, form, or fashion. There's been a lot of sermons I've heard where the whole thing didn't apply to me. And one little tiny nugget right there in the middle that wasn't planned is what the Lord hit me square in the eyes with. Right? You're sitting there and it's like, oh man, here we go again. Another one of these. I can't even follow you, preacher. What are you talking about? And then He spits that one thing out. It's like, my goodness, where did that come from? And He don't know neither. If you brought it back up, He'd say, I said, what? One of those kind of things. We can't dwell on revivals of the past. It's like this. I'm trying to be real good, baby. I'm thinking, all right, there's a place called the Catfish House. I'm trying not to make her sick. It's called the Catfish House, and I love it. They have some chicken fingers and all the fixings. The fixings are the best part, right? It's got hush puppies, coleslaw, and some beans, and my mouth's watering talking about it. I could live off those beans, those white northern beans and hush puppies the rest of my life, right? And be good and content, very happy. And then they give you some little relish to go with it. Man, I ain't a fan of relish, but I like that stuff. Man, it's good. I could go there tonight, race back to Prattville, Alabama, and come squealing in on two tires and 15 minutes left open, and I'm like, serve me up. I want them fixings, right? And I can just eat myself sick. Right? I still got to have energy to work tomorrow. And then what I eat tomorrow won't do me. If you're sitting there reflecting, wonderful steak that you had last year, Longhorn, or the great catfish at the Catfish House, or fried chicken, or beans and cornbread, whatever it is you love, right? It ain't filling your belly. It's just sitting there running through your mind, making you hungrier. Correct? I ain't saying there's anything wrong with thinking about it. I love to stop and think about it every now and then. Man, you remember down there when we were in Florida, Leesburg, Florida, and the Lord came down two nights in a row in a manner I've never experienced. I sure do. But it was thicker than peanut butter up in there. It was great. I remember the first night we came out, and I was the counselor over that bunch of boys I had, and I said, boys, y'all need to write this service down. It will probably never happen again in your lifetime. If it does, it'll be a long time. I told them, I said, it's been at least 10 years between the last service I was in, even similar to this one. We go back the next night and it's just as good or better. And I said, y'all really need to write this one down. Night number one was great. Two in a row, that just don't happen. Y'all remember that. I love to think on it. But if I were just stay on that the whole time and I dwell on it nonstop, well, then it's going to mess me up in trying to move forward and work for the Lord. All right, and then finally we should stop dwelling on failed attempts. Stop dwelling on failed attempts. Look here, I've got some lost friends, right, that I've tried to win to the Lord. And some of them, they just won't do it. One in particular, his name is David Barnes. And buddy, I don't know how many times I told him about the Lord. He would even ask me stuff sometimes. And I'd say, yes. I'm talking about get the full gospel message. He never got saved in those 4 years I was around him. It didn't happen. Now then, maybe the Lord will save him down the road. And I hope He does. But if I sit there and I dwell on David Barnes all day, every day, I'm going to be a nervous wreck. I presented the gospel to my friend. It's up to him what he does with it. I don't want him to go to hell, but I can't stuff salvation down his throat. I just can't do it. I can present it, and that's it. Some would say, oh, well, you failed. No, I done my job. I delivered it. I laid it out there on a silver platter. He just didn't take it, right? Now, I thought I'd failed one time with one boy, and I said, well, that one is going to hell, sure as the world. He ended up coming to see me after I'd got out. He was training in Mississippi, come to Alabama, and I was going to ask him if he wanted to go to church the next day, and he beat me to it. And he said, you having church, ain't you? I said, yeah. He's like, I want to go. I said, well, all right. I said, ain't going to do you no good. You're going to die and go to hell anyway. That's what I'm thinking. It's like, you ain't ever going to get saved. I get him over there, preacher preaches harder than I've ever seen him preach in my life. I'm talking about veins popping out of his face that I didn't know existed. He didn't either. He went back to Mississippi. I said, I knew it. I knew he was going to hell. He got to Mississippi and called me and said, man, I should have done it this morning. I got to get saved. Right? Now then, I thought I'd failed. Said, that boy is going to hell. I got to lead him to the Lord that night. I have another friend, Brother Jared, was just in Montana, and I've been praying. Oh, I've been praying that the Lord save him. Talked to him I don't know how many times. I told Jared, I said, hey man, he's lost. I said, lay it on thick. Right? He was going to be sitting there while Jared was preaching. I said, if anybody can get through that thick head, maybe it'd be him. Well, he was sitting there. He preached. It was over. My friend James went to talk to him. And Jared got to asking him questions, and he said, he brought up the doctrine of salvation. He said, yeah, you ever been saved? He said, well, I've been a little bit confused. He said, being saved means that you repent of your sins and accept Christ as your Savior, correct? He said, yeah, that's it. He said, yeah, I did that. He said, well, when'd you do that? He said, it was right after me and Jacob got done talking one night. I was like, well, good night, man. Why didn't you tell me? You know? All was going to be is he's so young and Lord, he didn't know any better than go tell somebody. I was about to have a running fit right there in Childersburg. Y'all were going to see some crazy person. Childersburg, man, caught acting a fool on Highway 280. Man, I was fired up. But if you'd asked me a week before, anybody could have said, well, you failed. Well, if you mean, did I lead him to the Lord? No, I don't reckon so. Turns out he done got born again. If he ain't, well, at least he's thinking about it, right? You can't dwell on what you failed at forever, or else you'll never try to succeed at anything else. Just the way it is. Maybe you failed at learning to pick up the guitar because you were bound and determined you were going to play the guitar in church and you just can't do it. Well, don't dwell on it. Find something else to do for the Lord. Maybe the Lord wanted you to go talk to somebody and tell them about Him. And you sat there and you argued and you just didn't do it. Right? And now then it haunts you at night thinking about that person going to hell. They might. Will it be your fault? Absolutely. But you can't do nothing about it now. Get it under the blood and press forward and don't let it happen again. It's the only way you're ever going to be able to do something for the Lord. If you dwell on all the things that you've done wrong, then you'll never try to do anything right. Don't mean you forget it and cast it out your mind completely, because you got to remember where you came from. You got to remember that you're just as wrapped up in flesh and sin as the next guy. So you ain't a self-righteous hypocrite walking around here acting like you're God's gift to humanity, right? You can't be like that neither. But you can't be dwelling on all these other things that took place. You can't be dwelling on sin. You can't be dwelling on failed attempts. And you can't be dwelling on revivals that will keep you hanging out back here when you should have done been 3 miles up the road. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and I'll be done. Lord, as we come to you again, I want to thank you for loving us and dying for us and being so good. Lord, I ask that you please help us move forward for you. We can be a better witness, a better servant for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.